Can y'all see okay?
We're good.
Okay.
I'm drawing the timeline out, and the timeline is ticking along with time, and time's happening all along the way here. And so, as we study the Bible, we put things on the timeline so that everybody goes, oh, that's where it belongs. It's like the Bible's kind of like a puzzle that you're putting together. And you may get a piece that is over here. You know how the puzzle pieces look, you know. And you'll find another one that fits over here some. And you got another piece over here. And as you put it together, you start to see the whole picture. And really, it's a picture that's explaining God's purpose. And it's fascinating because we've got approximately 4,000 years in the Old Testament, and the first 2,000 years is covered in Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis 11. The first 2,000 years is covered in that period of time. And the rest of it is covered in the other books. And so things are happening along the way in the Old Testament. Things are happening. This is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the ascension up on high, and there's Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit comes back. Right there. We're taking a long time still. 9. And what's fascinating to me when I start to study the Bible is the question that everybody should be asking themselves, why Paul? I mean, what is the real deal with Paul? Honestly, think about it. If you think about the Bible, Jesus Christ back here, and we talked about after Matthew chapter 12, that he didn't talk to the nation of Israel anymore. He spoke to them in what? Parables. And he was training 12 men to lead the 12 tribes to the 12 thrones, 12 gates, 12 months, all dealing with the nation of what?
Israel.
So why Paul? I mean, what's the dealy-willy? God's got His chosen people. God's got His group together. He's got 12 men to lead them. And on and on. I mean, what would be the point of Paul? And he sends Peter to the Gentiles. I mean, he goes to Cornelius. I mean, you know, I mean, what is the deal with Paul? Why? I mean, if the doctrine, if the gospel was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these 12 men got it, why would you choose Paul out there in the middle of nowhere? I want you to think about that for a minute. I mean, people go around saying, well, I believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If that's the gospel, then we didn't need the rest of the Bible. It was already explained. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one that called these 12, calls this man Paul. Now, that's fascinating to me. The same Jesus Christ who called these 12, sees a purpose for this person that is unique. Not only that, what's fascinating to me is Paul writes one half of the New Testament. 13 books. More than any other, more than these 12, was he a better author? Was that the deal? I mean, when you start to think about the Apostle Paul, there shouldn't have been any need that in Acts chapter 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they had 8,000 believers. In this period of time, they got 8,000 believers. I would say those guys are pretty effective. Wouldn't you? Those guys are already experts. There would be no reason for the Lord Jesus Christ to call that extra man. He wasn't going to sit upon the throne. let's start a different way. I was going to tell you Romans 6, and we'll probably hit that along the way. But go to Revelation. And go to Revelation Twenty-two, twenty-one. And I
want to
do what?
14.
Thank you very much. But I was going to start up a little bit. Verse 12. And had a wall great and high, verse 12, and 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Got them covered, right? And on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates, verse 14, and the walls of the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. Well, where's Paul? That's a little bit strange, don't you say? I mean, there's going to be this new city coming down from heaven that has 12 gates, three on each side. It's a cube. And there's a pearl for each of those gates, and on each foundation of those things are the 12 apostles. Where's Paul? I mean, you got to start saying there's something very strange about this whole setup, because, I mean, if you take out Romans through Philemon and you just rip it out of the Bible, here we're going to just rip it out. This piece of the puzzle we're just taking out. This all matches perfectly. Why Paul? I mean, there is only one thing that the Apostle Paul could do, and that is create confusion. Amen? These men got it going on. They know what they're going to do. They know what their goal is. They know what they're going to become. They know where their thrones are. They know everything about all that. They know there's 12. People say, well, he was the 12th apostle after they lost Judas. There's a problem with that. Let me show you. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And what I want you to see is there's no way that the Apostle Paul could be anything with the 12. In Acts chapter 1, look if you will. I'm going to start in 17. And he was numbered with us, talking about Judas and on, and hath attained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field in the reward of iniquity, falling headlong, he bursted asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out, and on. Come on down to 21. Wherefore of these men, the 120 that were there, have accompanied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. Okay, here it is, right here. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. It was 6 months before that John shows up. Here it is, right there on the timeline. This is the ministry of Jesus when he walks in. Now watch. 21. All the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, verse 22, the same day that he was taken up from us, which just happened on the page before, a couple verses up. You got it? Must one be ordained to be witness of us, of his resurrection? Did Paul fit the qualifications? He couldn't have been the 12th apostle. No matter how you mix it, he was never there during Jesus Christ's earthly ministry going in and out. He was not even qualified. So you got to say, why the apostle Paul? I mean, come on. There's got to be some reason why the Apostle Paul? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias, and he prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whether of these two Thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that it might go forth, might go to his own place, and they gave forth his lots, and who did it fall on? Now, I know the Holy Spirit honored that because of what it said in Acts chapter 2. Look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, watch this. Why Paul? But Peter standing up with the what? Yeah. How many men is that?
Well.
That means the Holy Spirit filled that spot. And if you don't believe it, look at what he tells Peter in Matthew. I think it's Matthew 21. Matthew 16. Nope. I'm just kidding. Hang on, I may have to go to another reference. Just a second. It's not the verse I'm wanting. Now, where's the place where he says, whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven?
John.
Well, it's John 20, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, John 20. Now, that's...
Verse 19 says
that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is. That's the verse I was looking for. Go to Matthew 16, verse 19. That's it. It's also in John 20. 21. Israel, and he says very clearly, watch this, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, do you know what the kingdom of heaven is? Okay, when I go up on the end, like of a sentence, that's usually a question. You know, okay. What is the kingdom of heaven?
The kingdom that's coming down on earth.
It's Israel's hope.
It's Israel's hope. It's that 1,000-year reign that they've been promised all that time. When heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
The kingdom of heaven is Israel's hope.
It's the New Jerusalem. And guess what they're going
to
walk on? Yes, sir. John 14. And that's where those mansions will be when they come down. You got it? Promise to who?
Israel.
I mean, that is the whole deal. Look in John chapter 1. Look in John chapter 1. I love people who study the Bible. It tickles me how they read things.
How readest thou? Isn't that what it says? One question, how readest thou?
Look in John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received. Who did he come unto? Jews. I mean, it's clear. This is the beginning of his ministry. He's come on to the Jews. And the Jews received him not. How do we know that they didn't receive him?
They crucified
him. That's exactly right. Go to Matthew 15. Watch this. Everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not written for you to do. It is to prepare this nation to get into that kingdom that was promised. Everything that is said, every doctrine that they do, is so that they can get into that kingdom. He's preparing a nation to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And we talked about the kingdom of priests last time, right? And that's the whole preparatory time for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is preparing this nation to go into that kingdom and be the kingdom of priests that God Almighty needs and desires and wants. In Matthew 15, he clearly states to this woman, clearly states in verse 24, she's a Gentile woman. Look what he says, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because this isn't the point. We want to get to why Paul. But he answered and said in verse 24, everybody, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that clear? Then everything he said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John must have been for the what? It's for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can understand that. Say, but shouldn't we follow Jesus?
Red letters.
I mean, we've lost our red letter Bible. You still have one?
Yes, sir. I sure do. I'm waiting for mine.
I want to know what my Lord said.
Huh?
I want to know what my Lord said.
The sound is too low, he says. Carlton raised his hand at me and looked like this. I don't know what that means exactly. That was not good, though. We're trying to keep it a secret from you. People to go through that tribulation. By the way, they know they got to go through the tribulation. That's all the instruction, the fleeing into the mountains and not coming down, and all those things, and the settling out. I mean, all of that, and getting into there, is what these guys are teaching. So I tell people, if they want to end up in the kingdom, become Jews, and do everything it says. You say, well, what did he tell them to do? Well, let me show you what Jesus Christ told you to do in order to get into that kingdom. Go to Matthew 19. Now, I'm sticking in the book of Matthew, but there's constant references in John and Mark. I use one book because most people find it easier to find Matthew. If I tell them John, they get a little confused. And Matthew... See how she wiggles her tail and cleans the back of your ear? That's actually a... Huh?
She's doing great.
Yeah, she does
that.
That's
the cobwebs out of my brain.
Oh, except now she's getting ready to pee. No. In Matthew 19, verse 16, one came and said, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, why? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life... And by the way, just this statement, there is none good but one, eliminates anybody in this room from being good. I'm like, people say, well, yeah, but that means before you got saved. Okay, big deal, it means there ain't none good. But one, that's God. I don't have any problem with that. You know? But if thou will enter into life, what does he tell him to do?
Keep the commandments.
Now, you know, the funny thing is we're funny about commandments now. I'm amazed at commandments. Commandments change. What? What's going on?
Keep commandments.
Keep the commandments. So he said, number one, if you're going to enter into life, do what?
Keep the commandments.
I believed that my whole life until I got saved. But let me ask you a question. Could anybody stand up in this room and quote me the Ten? Huh?
Start.
All right, go ahead, start.
Not having any idols.
All right, no idols.
He's good.
Now, it didn't say none. It said have not any graven images.
Steal, committed on.
Thou shalt not steal.
Honor
thy father and thy mother.
Keep
the Sabbath day. They didn't say keep the Sabbath day. Everybody quotes that.
No,
it didn't. It said thou shalt work 6 days, and the seventh day thou shalt remember the Sabbath, for it is holy. Work 6 days. That is not working Monday through Friday. Let me show you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Saturday.
No, I want Saturday off.
Yeah, but we work 90 hours.
No. And when you're on your Sabbath day, which was 24 hours, you weren't supposed to work at all. I hear them all the time. I'm pulling the ass out of the ditch. Brother, you haven't pulled anything out of the ditch with an ass like that. You know what I mean? I'm talking a donkey, guys. Oh, I can't. I see what you guys were thinking.
Oh, man. What dirty mind.
That's right. It does good.
Nobody's doing them all. Well, listen, Romans very clear. Romans very, very clear. Go to Romans chapter 2. Hold on here, we're going to turn right back. You didn't let go, did you? Now, you know who wrote Romans, right? Who? Paulie. All right, go to Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are just. So you can't like say, well, but I went to church every Sunday. See, I went to church and I listened. Yeah, but you broke the commandments because it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers. Okay, you could go like this now. Yikes! Y'all understand? He said, keep the commandments. Jesus Christ is very clear on that. You don't have an option. Say, well, I don't like them. They're a little bit hard. Oh, that's so bad. They go to hell. Because that was your option. You got it? You either keep them or you die and go to hell. That's what he said. You know, I'm always amazed at people who go, yeah, but I keep them a lot. It did not say in Romans 13, for the hearers of the law are just before God. It said they're not justified before God, but the doers of the law. That is, you have to do the law in order to be just. You know how many's done that?
None.
I'll give you a hint. None. One, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was God. Go back to Matthew 19. So one, he said, keep the commandments. Huh. Number two, look what he says. And he named some, and the guy says, I've done this from my youth up. And what did he mean he'd done it from his youth up?
He sacrificed.
Yeah, he would have offered blood sacrifice. He couldn't have kept them, right? But he could offer the sacrifice, and that was a legitimate deal. And he would still be keeping the commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, you keep the commandments. Then number two, you have to go and sell that thou hast. Now, I've heard this preached so phony. Drill with a cell. That's all I'm going to put. Okay? What does that mean to you, Brent? Go and sell that thou hast.
Sell my personal belongings.
Yeah. And people go, no, no. Mr. Theologian comes along and says, no, that's not what God meant at all. What God meant, and I'm the man of God. I talk to God. I walk in the wilderness, and me and God chit-chat.
You have to give up his house, or this is not Mercedes.
Baloney! You got it? Baloney! Can you say baloney? That's baloney. That's what he said. He said, go and sell that thou hast. And the people that heard him, that were in hearing distance of the red letter, did exactly what he told them to do. Look, in Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. This isn't some, oh, do it from your heart. Now, God will be satisfied if you do it from your heart.
Oh, that was this guy's special problem.
Yeah.
So you had to.
Acts 2 verse 44. Acts 2 verse 44. Watch what it says in Acts 2 verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Everybody help me in 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. What did they do? Why? Matthew 19, verse 21, and you need to write that reference right there in your Bible. Get your Bible pens out, boys and girls. Write it in. You won't remember it. You're brilliant. Oh, don't you wish you had your Bible here now? Don't you? You want to write those notes because these are going to be good. What did he say? I think he's borrowing Chafin or Lisa's or somebody's. Oh, I see. Chafin's double scribe tonight.
Hey, that's what it was in the Bible.
Hey, that's okay. I'm not complaining. Acts 2, 44 and 45. And then I want you to put Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through 36.
Beside Matthew?
Well, you can put it by Matthew, but Acts 2, 44 here. 45.
Acts what?
4, 31 through 36. Why don't you all turn there?
Turn where?
To Acts 4, 31. That's funny. I give you the reference. You can turn to it. It's written down in your Bible now. Acts 4, 31 and 36. Everybody pay attention. Watch this. And when they were prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spake the Word of God with boldness. And the multitudes of them that believed were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of the things that they... which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 34, jump down. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the price of the things which were sold and laid them down at the... Okay, well, I'm the closest thing to an apostle here. I think you ought to sell out and bring them all to my feet. And I'll even have a pedicure that day. You got it? I mean, I don't see this being... That big screen TV is pretty nice. There's a few things I like. And that vodka bottle under the shelf. Yeah. What?
Who's got that?
I'm telling you guys, y'all are bad. This needs to be a grace class here. Y'all end up in hell in a Mennonite church. They sold them and brought the price and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Go back to Matthew. So when he said sold their possessions, He meant it. And the people that heard him, it wasn't something, oh, it's in my heart. I've given it all away. All right, well, give me 20 of it. No! You know how it goes. Back at Matthew 19. Why Paul? I mean, I don't know anybody doing these things. Do you? Matthew 19, verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And, number three, come and follow me. Now, when he meant come and follow me, he wasn't really talking about, well, this thing. WWJD. How many got into that little deal? Oh, I wear the little bracelet. I'm like, what would Jesus have me to do? Pluck out your eyes, boys! You know, lusting after girls, right? Pluck, pluck. Fizz, fizz. Come and follow me. What he meant by that, and you ought to put this reference in there. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. When he said, come and follow me, what do you think he meant? Well, go to Matthew chapter 10, and you may want to write this in your reference, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Christy, if you're watching, the subject we covered earlier has been altered, so we were going to do that, and I decided not to. I don't know if you're watching. All right. Yeah, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He didn't mean the burdens of the Lord. He was literally talking about these people had to die in order, ready for this, to be born again. You wonder where that term came from? Never once was it mentioned in Paul's epistles. It's always outside of Paul's epistles. Isn't that strange? Because these people have to die a death and then ready, be born again from the dead. Look in verse 38. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall what? How do you think they're going to find their life in the tribulation? Take the mark of the beast. If you got the mark, are they going to kill you? No. But guess what? If you take the mark, you can never be saved. He that takes the mark and saves his life. And let me tell you what, that's why he says, woe unto those with children in that period of time in Matthew 24. Because you know what? When they start beating the tar out of your child until you would take the mark, you'll take the mark. Listen to me very carefully, boys and girls. You best be without child. When that child gets hungry, and you can get a piece of bread or a piece of milk for that child, you will sell your soul. And many will. I mean, this isn't a play game with God. He's setting these people up to understand how to get through that 7 years and into the kingdom. We still haven't got to why Paul. We still haven't got to this question yet. Well, let me tell you, everything here is preparatory for this over here. That's all it's doing. It's not doing anything else. It's not teaching you how to live. You can't live like a Jew. You can't offer the sacrifices. You know what Jesus Christ told a man to go offer? A blood sacrifice. Where would you do that? Not you. You couldn't do it at the temple. I could see Shaphan walking down to the temple. Yes, I'd like to offer this for my sin. Aren't you a Gentile? Get away from the temple, you'll defile it. They wouldn't let you near it. That was pretty good imitation of Chapin, wasn't it? I thought so myself. I have been honing up on my skills, and sure enough. But look at the last part of 39. He that loses his life for my sake shall what? I would put Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And I would turn there if I was a good Bible student. I am starting to sweat up. You're right. Revelation. Verse 10. He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. And if you die, guess what? I will give you a crown of life." The only way they can get the crown of life is to do what?
Die.
You know why? They're going to have to be a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, which is the eternal priesthood. So everybody in Israel that is going to be priest will have to die. I don't hear that being preached on Sunday services. I go to church all the time. Well, now I preach at church, but I went to church all the time when I wasn't a preacher. And you know what? I never heard anybody tell me that out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would have said, "Well, preacher, how come we all have houses? Why haven't we sold out if that's requirement?"
What did you say?
I said, how far back did you want me to go? I'm sorry. I get confused too. I'm like the lady in the back. I went to my mother-in-law and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm the patient in the other room." Y'all understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why Paul? He's not trying to tell you how to live your life. Jesus isn't trying to give you the golden rule. Jesus isn't trying to get you to be good mommies and daddies. Jesus is trying to get the nation of Israel into that kingdom.
Amen.
That's what He's doing. And the selling out is really important. Look, go to Matthew. I was in Luke, I don't know why. Go to Matthew.
There's a couple good passages.
Yeah, there's a couple good passages in there. Luke. Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew. Luke's got some good ones too. All right, now watch this. Why sell out? Matthew 24. Did you all not get the ESP note?
Yeah. We didn't get that.
Wireless is down right now.
Sorry about that.
Uh-oh.
That was a Wi-Fi note. Here, I'll text it to you. Matthew 20. I tell you what. I didn't have to go over text until I met you guys, and I had to upgrade my text deal. Verse 13, Matthew 24:13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what?
Saved.
What happens if you don't endure? You're not saved. I mean, that's number 4. What did he say?
Endure to the end.
What happens if you don't? End of what? Here's the key. End of your life. Yeah, it doesn't have to do with tribulations. Some of these people died before. You have to endure all the way onto the end, and He will give you a crown of... You got to go all the way to the end. Death. Or the end of the tribulation, like Bob said. Either one. Now watch this. Watch this again. Watch it very clearly. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. But the gospel of the kingdom is what he's been training these guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about this kingdom coming over here. And a witness unto all nations. He didn't say go save all nations. It was a witness unto what was going to happen. And then shall the end come. And he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Here he is right in the middle of the tribulation. Right here. He goes into that temple. Listen to me very carefully. The Antichrist enters into the temple. By the way, what's in the Temple Mount right now? It's going to be moved. And they're going to build the temple back. And I don't know if you can see a little bit of conflict between the Muslims and the Jews, but there's a little tension over there. You know who's going to win out? The Jews. And they're going to build back the temple. And then you know what the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to go into that temple and claim himself to be God. Now look what he tells him to do. Watch this. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, I would try Daniel chapter 9 kind of prophecy. And if you have any confusion, look on my website and look 20 hours up about that prophecy. Stand in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And let them which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of their house. How can you remove that temptation? Sell out everything you have. I mean, if I was going to flee in the mountains for 3.5 years, what would you take, Brent? Oh, right after you drank. That's fine. I'm trying to see.
I might do a bit different. I'll probably take a gun first.
All right, I'd take a gun too. You got to have some ammo. Some survival equipment. How about a tent? You're going to be there in the mountains 3.5 years?
What about pet?
Pet food?
Petra. The place that they're escaping.
Oh, well, yeah, they escaped to Petra in the mountains, but I mean...
That would be a temptation.
Yeah, listen. But not all of them are going to fit in Petra. You know, some will. You all understand? I mean, if you thought about it, so what would remove that temptation? By selling out. You got it? That's why I told them to sell out.
How can they have survival equipment if they sold it?
They wouldn't. That's the point. They're to trust the Lord. And in Matthew 25, the Gentiles feed them.
Yep. Right.
So during the tribulation, when they flee into the mountains, the Gentiles bless the Jews by doing what?
Feeding them.
That's right. There's some that bless them and some that what?
Curse them.
The cursers go to hell. The blessers go into that kingdom and are accepted in. Do you all understand? Preparing for that kingdom. He's even preparing the Gentiles for that kingdom. He tells them to bless a Jew in Matthew 25. I mean, he didn't tell a Gentile to become a Jew and start keeping the commandments and selling out and doing all the things he told the Jews to. Why? He's preparing them to get through this tribulation. Got it? Look at it again. Verse 16. Then let them which in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Woe to them with the child. Hey, you're going to be fighting people that are trying to get you to take the mark. You know why? Let me show you. Go to Revelation 13. This Bible makes sense, guys. Listen, let me tell you what. There isn't any part of this that anybody here can't understand. There isn't any problem with you understanding. And listen, let me tell you what. The realization is if you don't get it straight, you have no hope. In Revelation 13, look if you will in verse 13. Revelation 13, verse 13. You know it can't be good. And he doth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that are on the earth, that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, when God told him not to have any graven images, which had a wound and by the sword and did live. And he had great power, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak. This image comes alive, guys. I am Iron Man. You might keep that in your mind. It comes alive, guys. I'm not kidding you. This image comes alive. Verse 16 now. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, that about covers everybody, free and bond, no, we've really got it, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, you can't take it, you're Israel. Because if you take the mark, you lose your life. You have to refuse the mark to the point of being martyred. You got it? Now guys, we're talking tough stuff, man. We're not talking you're going to make it through. You probably ain't going to make it. But God had a plan even before all this went into existence. And the plan was with Paul. And Paul is the central reason for the Bible. Now, I've been to church. How many ever heard that they had to pluck out their eyes, sell out, keep the commandments, endure? And you know for a fact that you haven't done that, which would mean you're damned already. If all we have is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've just ripped Paul's pages out of there. Nobody in this room, are you listening to me? You on the internet, anybody watching me, listen to me. You are damned already. You are not going to make it by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't have a hope that way. You don't have a, as they say, a pot to pee in. You ain't got nothing. You got it? Outside of that, you have nothing. I'm amazed. People go to church. All they hear is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what that would tell you? That you didn't have any hope. If you sat in the church and really taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would realize you have no hope. You go to church all your life. You hear Matthew, John 14. You hear all those things. But you know what? You'd have no hope. How many here have houses? Even if they're itty bitty, Lisa. How many here's got flat screen TV? How many's got one over 50 inches? Yeah. 60? Oh, no. 48?
Huh.
You got it? You wouldn't make it. And there's coming a time when you see that thing that the mark of the beast is only the way that you'll be able to trade at grocery stores. Now listen, let me tell you what. They didn't film very much. But did y'all see where Iceland's government got shut down? And for 4 months, 4 weeks, they rioted in the thing and they stole from the grocery store because there was no money. I want you to think about this for a minute before I get to Paul. What happens if you go to the grocery store and you whip out your debit card like you always do and the funds are frozen? And they say, you know, Miss Lisa Miller, I'm sorry, your card isn't any good. You're going to need to go to central processing to get it reinstated. But I know Shapin's got $12 in it. That's good, $12. Yeah. Yes, but for you to use it here now, you've got to take the mark. You all understand? And let me tell you what. People will dive in to get that money out of the bank. As soon as they take that mark, they have damned themselves. Listen to me. Yes. There'll be some Gentiles that know better. Because they've been out preaching this stuff. Now listen to me. It won't be hard. People say, well, identity theft's becoming a problem. Well, we can slip a little thing and just make sure that the card and you are matched up. And that's coming, and it will come before the market is here. They've already started trying it. It's called
RFID.
RFID. Chip. And they've got it. It's the size of rice, grain of rice, and it slips right in. They started testing it on dogs about 10 to 15 years ago, but that's already here, guys. And it's already been human wear. In fact, everyone in the military wears one now. They're shot up with it before they go overseas so they can find them even if their dog tags are ripped off. They scan them. And I'm just telling you, boys and girls, listen, let me tell you what. This is already prepped up to go. But God, before the foundation of the world, chose a man and said, look, I've got something that is going to be a mystery. And even though all this stuff that I talked about has been mentioned in the Old Testament and all that, I'm going to give you something that has never been mentioned before. And I'm going to say the Apostle Paul. And there's a reason that the Apostle Paul was chosen. Very unique reason. He was a Jew of a Jew. Look in Philippians chapter 3 for just a minute. How are we doing online, everybody? Margie, you need your eyes cleaned. I wish I could see you too. She says, you are a beautiful sight. Yeah, for a mother who's lost their child, you know. That was sweet. Thank you. And the words that I speak, they're not mine. They're His. Where was I? Oh, I got wrapped up and almost got a tear in my eye.
Proves that Paul is a Jew.
Philippians chapter 3. Now watch this. Talking about circumcision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But you see, Paul did something that could not be forgiven. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 12. And so if God used Paul, it would be because he had no hope any other way. There was no possibility that Paul could ever get saved after Matthew chapter 12 because of verse 31. Matthew 12, 31. Look at this. Wherefore I say unto you that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Well, look at Paul's situation. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. All I can tell you is we get to turn the Bible. Amen?
Okay.
Yes?
Amen.
Oh, amen. Yeah. There's one amen. There's two man. Three man. No, I'm just kidding. Gilly, what are you doing? Come here. Come here. Come here. No, no, no. Hey, come here. Come here. Come here. No, you just stay there. You're scared of that. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't blame you. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer. Well, where did he blaspheme? Acts chapter 7, when he was stoning Stephen full of the
Holy Ghost.
He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. So, according to Matthew chapter 12, no hope. No hope at all. Zero hope. But God saved the Apostle Paul to show him that something new is happening. Because if it was the same deal as Matthew chapter 12, he could not be forgiven in this world, nor in that world to come. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you can't go against Scripture. If Matthew chapter 12 is true, then Paul has no hope in this world, nor in that to come. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's try it. Thirteen. Who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What made him the chief sinner of all man? He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. There was no forgiveness for him. So for God to forgive him, it would take grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a blasphemer like me. You see, he was a blasphemer. He couldn't be forgiven. And yet God, by His infinite grace and His wisdom, from the foundation of the world, reached down and saved that sorry sack of nothing that would lay out the words against the Holy Ghost and save him by His marvelous grace. Save him by His blood. Even though he deserved hell, he deserved the lowest part of it all.
Amen.
Hey.
Could have done that back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
No.
No hope back here. And so God opened the portal of grace.
Okay.
Verse 16, watch what he says. Howbeit, for this cause, God saving me because I was a blasphemer, I obtained mercy. Now watch the terminology here. That in me first. He didn't say in the 12 first. He didn't say while Jesus walked on the planet earth first. He said that in me first. Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Who's the pattern? Well, if Paul can get saved, any of you guys could get saved.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how bad you are. You know how bad you are? You're not worth the gunpowder to blow you into hell. You aren't any good. The Bible said there ain't none good. No, not one. You know what that includes? That includes me. I'm rotten. I'm a filthy scoundrel. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I have done all that is necessary for anyone to go to hell. I've done it in this room. You see, guys, I am a murderer. You listening? I'm a murderer. I'm not talking fake stuff. I'm a real, live murderer. You may not even like me after all this. I'm not kidding. You think you're good? I'm not any good. only thing I thought policemen were was good target practice. I was bad. You know what? I'm standing right in front of you with the righteousness of Almighty God.
Amen.
Because just like Paul, I needed Christ. If it hadn't been for the blood of Jesus Christ, I'd have no hope. God would be right. If I came before the throne of God, if this was God's throne and He walked me up in front, He would be right saying, "You two angels, take Barry and cast him into the lake of fire. Throw him in there for all eternity. He isn't any good. Throw him in." And He'd have been right. I'm a liar. I told Brenda on the internet that I was 6'4" and 120 pounds. I mean, that's not a far stretch. And I said I had six packs, I just didn't tell her how I got them. You know what I mean? Some people have to work for these. I get my six packs, I got ripples like, you won't believe it, it's like really sexy. I take my shirt off and men and women both, they just look at me and say,
put it on.
Y'all understand? I ain't any good. You know what? I'm an adulterer. Hey, I'll ever commit adultery?
No.
I'm a filthy, rotten adulterer. Now, some adulterers caught somebody in John chapter 8, brought them before Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He wrote in the sand something. Stood up and he said, "You that without sin cast the first stone." You know that woman walked away free. You know why? They weren't any better. There's none good, no, not one. And so God had a way. If He wanted to save anybody, He had to do something. And so He saved the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Now what's fascinating about this whole thing is what happened. Go to Romans 16. And we know why it happened, amen? He was a blasphemer. There was no other way for him to get saved, amen? Go to Romans 16. Romans 16. Man, this stuff, I'm telling you, Dave, Brent's a little nervous now. I'm calm him down, he's saying, "Man." He's been doing this lately. Romans 16:25. "Now to Him that has the power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the..."
Mystery.
What are mysteries? Something hidden, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, come on, guys. I'm not real smart. But if it was kept secret... You new guys are here. You guys have never heard me preach, have you?
No.
Okay. If He got it here and it's been kept secret all the way to the Old Testament, was it taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Was it taught in the Old Testament back here? If it was kept secret, if that verse means what it says, then nobody taught it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Where are all the churches? But they're not teaching the mystery. You know why? They don't know it. You know why? It's still a mystery to them. There was something that was kept secret. God kept it a secret. Why? It was the greatest news that ever happened. Look what He says. "Now to Him that has the power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the Scripture." Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. Oh, guys. Listen, let me tell you what. When you start to realize this and you start to get in the Word of God and you start to see this stuff put together, there was no mistake in the plan of God exactly what was happening and what was transpiring. And you know what? He's not trying to get people into that kingdom. He's taking them off of the planet.
Amen.
We're leaving the planet.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know that old song? This is Major Tom to ground control. You know? We're leaving. We're airborne.
David Bowie.
You know David Bowie?
I remember.
Oh, hell, you're going to hell too, then. Ain't none. Hey, listen. In the 60s, nobody made it. You understand?
Amen.
Everybody in the 60s was, all your parents were damned to hell just being born then. First Corinthians chapter 2, watch this. Isn't that true, Beverly?
I'm afraid so.
She missed. She missed the 60s.
Bert, huh?
She missed the 60s. She was good.
She was probably not good in the 60s. 50s and 60s were bad. I mean, you had rock and roll, you know.
Amen.
People started growing long hair, like shaping. See all the other gentlemen shaping? They're all godly men. You look like a beetle. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, the Jews. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Romans 16:25. I'd write that in my Bible if you didn't have it. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the what?
Mystery.
They would not agree. Whatever that Paul got, had they known it. Excuse me, that was my cucumbers. There's a few things I've learned not to eat before. Spaghetti and cucumbers.
Oh, come on.
No, I didn't get any on the... Uh-oh. No, we're good. That was a bus ball. Where was it? Oh. Had they known it back here or in the Old Testament, they would not have what? So something was a mystery that was unique to this period of time that couldn't be said, that the Lord Jesus Christ, are you listening to me, kept it a secret.
Amen.
And revealed, the Lord did, to Paul.
Amen.
Are you guys with me back there? Not bad for a first Bible study, amen?
Awesome.
All right, you got it? There was a mystery given to them. Why? Had they known it back here, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
You got it? What was the good news? Didn't they know by the prophet that there was going to be a death, burial, and resurrection? Can anybody tell me what prophet would have talked about that?
Isaiah.
Who else? Jonas. As the prophet Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly.
So
3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. They talked about the death, burial, and resurrection the whole time. But that is the mystery. They knew that. They still crucified it. Because what they didn't know is what Paul was given. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And you know what? It doesn't, listen to me. It doesn't matter what you believe before you got in here. You know what you've heard tonight. And you know what the point is. Listen to me. There ain't anybody confused at this point. Amen?
Amen.
Program here, 12 men, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 foundations, 12 thrones, on and on over there in that kingdom. We're talking about a big set of parentheses that is unique to the books of Romans through Philemon. Now, I know we're getting close to the end because my belly is ready for some watermelon. But you hang tight with me about another 15, 20 minutes while I sweat out the water I put the last watermelon in with. and I'll be ready to replenish.
We do want a 3995 square code.
Okay, hang on just a second. If you want the whole 3995,
break time.
Put cash in here. Oh, I see. Pass it on.
I thought it was directed at him. Oh, I started there.
Well, I was starting it with you, Brad. Where was I? 1 Corinthians 15. You guys are working me hard tonight.
1 Corinthians 15.
It's two verses.
I know.
You need
to
read
this corner.
What does it matter?
It wouldn't matter.
I'm really working up here, brother. You know, there are very few preachers work as hard as I do. I mean, they have a lot of hot air. They get you hot, but...
Do you need a fan?
I was feeling
kind of
hot tonight.
Well, sitting next to Lisa, you know, anybody. You're a lucky man, brother. I think you got a wonderful wife, and you ought to protect her and love her with all that you have in you. I think you ought to wash her with the words and make her feel like she's the special person in your life, just like Christ makes you feel. Amen?
You said it. Hey. You said it. That's great.
You know, I do marriage counseling, and that's $49.95. It was so funny. We were at church one time, and we had a lady, I'm not kidding you, said, I wish...
She's going to have to get whatever she put me in.
She's going to go get the $49.95.
Marriage counseling.
Not mystery, marriage counseling.
All right, sister, I'm going. Margie is buying the next hour. She said, I just got paid so I can pay for a whole nother hour.
Alright. There you go.
There you go. Alright, we got $39.95, $39.95, $40. Anyway, they were at the church and she said, boy, I wish my wife would put the seat down and on the toilet. That drives me crazy. And the wife yells out, well, I wish you'd hit it sometime. I thought, I'm setting this $49 marriage counseling up right now. I wish you could hit it. Guys are a little crazy at Ames. If we shot like our 22 like that, we'd starve to death. Amen. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse... Beverly's not finding this funny at all. She is serious tonight. Tighten it up. Moreover, brother, and I declare unto you the gospel, which what? I preached unto you. Not the 12. I. Which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, Acts chapter 9, how that Christ died for our sins. You know, I hear people say all the time, man, I feel guilty for my sins. I feel that. Well, then you're not saved. Why would you? Listen, the good news is Jesus Christ took your sins and took it away from you. He became sin for you. God Almighty made His Son to be sin for you. You say, well, I feel bad. Well, then you don't understand the gospel. There's good news. What's the good news? He died for your sins. Christ died for... Say this. Christ died for my sins. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Man, it's done. Done. So, well, I don't know if I believe in eternal life. Then you're stupid.
Colossians
chapter 2. What? Yeah. Do you believe in that?
Amen.
You too, brother. Listen to me. There isn't a thing that's going to change. Jesus Christ, when He got on that cross, God Almighty made Him be His sin for you. Look what He said in Colossians. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many?
All.
Ain't one. Listen, there isn't a single sin that Jesus Christ doesn't know. As they were nailing him into that cross, as they were pounding those rods into his hands and into his feet and shoving it into his side, he was there as your sin, as your representative for your evil ways, for your murderous ways, for your adulterous ways, for your evil thinking ways. He was there becoming sin for you.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances.
That's the law. Go, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, this is not the message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This isn't a message that they preach readily that, hey, I'm going to die for all your sins. For had they known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan would have kept him alive if he had known that fact. And so God kept it a secret. That's why Paul was saved. That's why Paul was chosen. That's why Paul is the man that God has got to preach the gospel of the gospel of Christ to those that will believe.
Amen.
So can Jew and Gentile.
In other words, the mystery couldn't have happened.
Absolutely. You got it?
Amen.
But we go to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, help me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Turn to Matthew 5. And, oh, you know, and I mean, and they don't even know anything about the mystery. And they're acting happy. And in the back of their mind, they're wondering, have I done enough? Have I kept up with it well enough? Have I done it good enough? Have I been able to do this? When was there a time in your life, listen to me very, very, very carefully. If there was a calendar, when was there a time that you heard this message and received it as your own? And you know what? If they're in a time when that happened, you're lost. Hey, I mean, there were times when I walked the aisle. There were a time when I joined the church, lost. I didn't say that. When was there a time that you heard this gospel and you trusted the Lord? Look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is not a play game. There are people that are going to miss this. Don't you understand? They are going to go into that tribulation believing they're Jews or believing this or believing that. And they're all going to receive a deception from the Antichrist and believe that He's God. And they're going to miss the catching out. You guys that are truck drivers, Shape, you and your buddies, maybe the police guy gets to driving down the road. Man, you think, hey, it's Sunday. Maybe I ought to show up here for church. Come, there's nobody here. What's going on? I'll text Barry. Text comes right through to my iPhone. Barry ain't reading. Poor text so far. You got it? You start calling around because you thought, well, I thought Sunday we were meeting for church. You didn't believe because you didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen to me. You've missed the rapture. And you are now going to spend eternity in hell. Just because you wouldn't believe it. So, well, I'll figure this thing out. I want you to figure it out. But what happens after tonight? We all break up and we all go to our own little place. And you're standing there. You know what? I had people that listened to the Grace Men. Listen to me very carefully. For 35 and 40 years, lost. So how can that be? People don't really trust. They say, well, hey, this information is great. I believe this information. And they learn it. You know, the Bible says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
And they get this rightly dividing down, and they can rightly divide, but they themselves never trusted the Lord.
That's right.
You know what? Everybody here in this room and on the internet, are you listening to me? Know right now what they believe for their salvation. I used to believe God was going to put the good on one side and the bad on the other and weigh it out. 24th of August, 1983, all of that changed. I used to believe you had to be good to get into heaven. 24th of August, 1983, just coming up in 22 days. 1983, 27 years ago, I trusted the Lord. I know where I was and what I trusted. You know what I told Brother Moore? I'm not kidding you. Brother Moore came up to me and said, "Error?" And I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Moore." He said, "Tell me about your salvation." And I was brave enough to tell him a big, bold, face lie. I said I was homeless on the street, which was true. But that 8th day seeing the bright noonday sun, that was BS. I was lying about that. I told him on the 8th day that I'd seen the light and I changed my life. It surrounded me and warmed me. My aunt said she was riding along on a bike and she got to this hilly part in California. She saw Jesus standing up on the hill. And that image gave her a love bath from her head to her toe. She died lost. Told him how I was starving and the Lord fed me and like ravens. I heard that story. I figured I might as well try it for me. And so I told him. And you know what? He knew I was lying the whole time. About 2 months later, I got saved. I quit hanging on to all those fake stories and all that garbage because I didn't know the gospel. Listen. You can't trust in a gospel you haven't heard any more than you can go to a place you've never been. I'm going to go back to that place, but you've never been. How can you go back? I never heard this gospel. I believed something about salvation, but I didn't believe this about salvation. But on the 24th of August, I changed my mind. I trusted the Lord for what He did. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Everybody help me. Not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you?
No.
Hey, if He was, He would have already blown me to hell. I heard Pat Robinson say that New Orleans got hit by Katrina because of the homosexual sin down there. Really? Well, what happens to this verse where he said, God's not imputing your trespasses unto you? That would be God imputing trespasses unto him. Amen? He's in direct denial. You know what I know then? Pat Robinson doesn't know the mystery. Say, well, he's a big-time evangelist. Yeah, they're lost, aren't they? No matter what it is. God said, let me read it again. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Why? Verse 21, look. For He, that's Almighty God, had made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. What did God do? He made Jesus Christ to be sin for you. Jesus Christ took your sin. Here's your life. And you committed sins. And Jesus Christ took those sins and became those sins at Calvary. How many sins do you have?
None.
Oh, why? Because you walked the aisle?
No.
Because you came down and slung snot at an old-fashioned altar?
No.
Why do you not have any sins? Because you confessed them? No, you don't have any sins because God made His Son to be sin for you.
Amen.
Made you. Made His Son to be you. And He had to crucify His Son. And He laid His Son out on that cross and he pounded nails into his hand like it was you.
Amen.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's exactly why you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins are already... You will go to hell with your sins already paid for. It isn't sins that send you to hell. People say, well, you need to give up smoking. Oh, there might have been a few. I know you guys didn't understand that. Let me to the modern thing. I got a few of you there.
Wow.
I knew I'd catch a few of you on that one. I can roll a joint with one hand.
They like brownies now.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was glad. You know, I never thought in my life what I did was going to become legal.
Oh, my goodness.
It is in California.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. They're going to sell it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise medical marijuana. What kind of business? Well, I'm in the medical business. What kind? Oh, herbal in. He took all your sins and became that at Calvary.
Yeah.
That's
right. You name it. He did.
And the only way he could have done that was through a mystery that was kept secret. For had they known that, back here, they never crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
My favorite verse in the Bible, for he, that is God, made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So everybody's sins are paid for. Doesn't matter if it's a whore or a drug dealer or a lying cop. There's a few of those, amen?
Amen.
You all understand?
Sure.
Doesn't matter what you are. All your sins, oh, self-righteous preachers. Doesn't matter. Your sins were all paid for. See, they just don't know that. They think they have to get rid of their sins. So they make little religions and they make you come down and confess them. And make you feel bad for your sins. But look at what God says in Romans chapter 8. See, guys, this stuff is so simple, it's ridiculous.
It is.
Are we doing okay on the internet? Is Wayne policing it okay?
I think so.
Have we been hit by any naughty people?
Not really.
That's okay, they need to be saved too. Therefore, there is now
no
condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. You know why? You know where all your sins are.
Amen.
Why would you be walking around and worry? Well, I feel guilty or I feel condemned. Then you don't know it's paid for. If it's completely paid for, aren't you going to relax?
Amen.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Start filling up the plate shape and I'm going for the next 15 minutes. Okay?
Get you next week.
I'll use the
We'll take credit cards. You all understand? And people go around trying to make religion. And they try to make you feel guilty because if they can make you feel guilty, they can control you.
Amen. Amen.
Exactly what they do.
And God's trying
exactly
to tell you, look, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's yours. It's a free gift. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Watch this. You know what? Let me tell you what. People play with this thing and try to muster it up and fake it. You know what? Listen. It ain't hard. You know you ain't worth a gunpowder to blow you into hell. Amen?
Amen.
You may not be as bad as me, but you're certainly badder than Brent.
I don't know about that.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. That's the kind of cop that I like.
Violent cop.
I mean, you know how I feel about lawyers. You got a snake, a deadly rattlesnake, and you got a lawyer and two bullets in your gun. You know what you ought to do? Shoot the lawyer twice. You know what you call it when you got a bus full of lawyers falling off the cliff with one seat empty? A crying shame.
They need say two.
Hey, listen, I got one other good thing about lawyers I'd like to say. You know, when you get two lawyers in a room, you know what you've got? Nothing. They end up with it all.
That's
trust
right.
Me. Amen. Where did I tell you? Ephesians chapter 2. Thought I forgot, didn't you? But for $49.95, I remember well. I want to thank the people in this room that have given to the ministry. First of all, there's been people that do that and support our ministry, and I appreciate it. So it doesn't go unrecognized. You will get a tax donation. We are 501(c). But no, really, I do appreciate it because we operate the ministry off of free will offerings, and there's been people in this room that have been very generous, and I thank you humbly. Ephesians chapter 2. Watch this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not about your confession, not about you walking out, not about you joining the church. It is the gift of God. He wants you to have it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, the only way you can lose this salvation is try to work for it. You cannot work for it and get it. God will not give it to you. It's an insult to His Son and the work that His Son did on Calvary.
Amen.
He will. You say, "Well, but I've got to do this because if I don't, I just don't think I'd be saved." And God, I'm going to give it to you. And I always give an illustration, and I'm going to give just a few minutes at the end. If you would flip the camera around, and people say, "But you know, I describe salvation like letting go of a rope." And there's a rope in your life. There it is. And you're on this rope. I'll just draw this as you here. And down here are jaggedy rocks. And everybody that comes to the end falls on that jaggedy rocks and dies. So the angel of the Lord says, "Look, you're sliding down this rope. You started up here. You're going to end there. That's the end of your life. And you're going to fall on those jaggedy rocks and then. But if you will let go of that rope, I will save you." You go, "But if I let go of this rope, I'll fall and die." I just said that if you'll trust me, I'll save you. And so the guy joins the church. He lets go of one hand. See, but it's hanging on. You understand? Throws that on and throws off the other hand. And the angel of the Lord said, "No, no. You've got to completely trust me to be saved." Say, "But if I let go, I'm going to die." You're going to die anyway. I'm telling you that if you'll let go, and so salvation is the moment you let go of the rope. And you just start falling. You know what? If I go to hell, I deserved it anyway. Amen? If what He did at that cross isn't enough, what am I going to muster up and bring that is going to be so impressive to God that He'll look down and say, "Oh, you are such a nice person." And that happens one day in your life when you let go of that. I know people that have known the grace movement for years and years and years. I knew some that were grace preachers. You all know Jerry Sanders. Jerry Sanders stood behind the pulpit and preached the grace message as good as anyone I've ever heard. But he was lost. You don't believe him? Ask him. I watched him preach. I was in the class when he used to preach. Lost. Of course, I always thought he was lost. He never preached the cross. It was always about facts of rightly dividing. Facts of this, facts of that. I never heard him preach the cross. I heard the cross. See, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Yes. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. He'll say, what? What? Why do you know so much scripture? I don't know that many scriptures. I just use the same ones over and over and they think I'm smart.
There's only 13 books you have to learn.
I listened and I received. And it's letting go of that rope that saved you. When you finally give up, I can't save myself. And you get off the treadmill that you've been walking up, and you finally say, I'm done. I'm just standing here until he comes and gets me because I can't go no more. And I'm going to give you an illustration of that that happened to me this week. I was up in Cleveland and I had a bad day. I was pitiful. I had 2 years ago, I took a pill from a doctor and it gave me congestive heart failure. What is that? What was it?
The watermelon fell or something.
Oh.
I was still a little concerned.
He's ducking!
Well, I knew there was a lot of people between me and that glass.
Chances were low.
There's a reason I'm in this corner. So yeah, he's got all kinds of bad news. Escape.
You got a guy with you?
I think so.
Anyway. Yeah, you all thought the rapture happened. You all were scared to death.
I thought something
did. But listen to me. I took that pill, and 2 years ago, I can't hardly walk up and down steps. I'm 52 years of age. I never thought that was going to happen to me. And so, I'm driving along, and all of a sudden you hear that, and I'm looking for the helicopter that everyone does. And I went, I got a flat tire. I started changing that thing out, and I started having chest pain. Pain shooting down my arm. I think I'm stuck. I am pitifully stuck. I cannot change my own tire. How embarrassing. I can tell you, it was embarrassing. I had no strength in my legs. I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. So I said, Lord, you need to send somebody to help me. When you get to that desperate in your salvation, that you're helpless, you'll ask God, send me Jesus Christ to help me. When you get to that point of helplessness with the Lord, and you're there, and you know what? Nobody can make you get there. That's the weirdest thing. I've wanted people to get saved. I knew they were lost. I talked to them. They were lost. I knew that they were lost. They just never would get to that point of helplessness. Here I was on the side of 422 in Cleveland. Thinking I'm going to die on the side of the road. That's what being lost is like. When you're totally helpless and you need a Savior. There ain't nothing else you can do. You can't lift another rod. You can't turn the lug nut. You just relax in the Lord. When was there a day like that in your life? If you haven't had a day like that, you're still lost. It doesn't matter how many classes you've been to. It doesn't matter if you even talk. Second Corinthians 5:21. And I wrote a little song in my book. And it goes like this. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious enough? that all you got to do is be me. And I wrote that song the day after I got saved. I sang it and the children say, Daddy, what hymnal is that? I said, no, Daddy, that's what I wrote when I got saved. See, it was so simple. I didn't want anyone to get confused. You know what? If you're not saved here or on the internet, if you don't know that you're saved, you can trust Jesus Christ right now for your salvation. You can do it. You can give it up. But you know what? If you fake it, you can fake me out. I can be faked out. You say, hey, Brother Barry, I'm saved. I'm like, okay, great. And when the rapture comes, you're going to be knocking on the door singing Bible class. Where's Bible class today? And you will have missed it for all eternity. Now, why are you risking it? Why have you got so much confidence in the things you're doing that you think somehow God's going to shine down upon you because of your good work? Are you kidding me? Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter where you've been or who you've been. Listen, man, I can tell you, I've been from sainthood to walking along the side of the devil himself. Back to sainthood. I'd quit smoking, drinking, playing cards 2 years before I got saved. I gave up chasing wild women. Well, except for Brenda. I chase her every now and then. But I'm married to her. There's a difference. Can y'all understand? I gave it all up 2 years before thinking I was straightening out my life. You ought to read my diary. My daughter read my diary and said, Daddy, it sounds like you were saved before. And I said, no, that's when I was trying to be good. And on the 24th of August, I wouldn't be good anymore. You know what the difference is? I'm forgiven. I know for a fact that I'm forgiven. Let go of the rope and I'm going to free fall into his hands.
Jump down the plane.
Just let it go. Just let it go right now. If you never let it go right now. Just give it up. And quit trying to be a Christian. Jesus Christ, like all your sins, it was a mystery. That's why Paul was saved out of due time. He had a special message, and you know what? People today go to church, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there isn't a single verse in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that could save you today. Not one verse. So when did you get saved? And if not, why not today? How about you on the internet? You that are watching me, I don't care if you're sitting at home. You don't have to walk anywhere. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe that He did it all for you.
Amen.
It's really that simple. Thank you all for listening. And thank you for allowing me the grace of God to preach to you the grace of God. It is the I drive 6.5 hours, 7 when you stop for Cracker Barrel, to get up here. And I'm exhausted every time. But when I start preaching this word, it is the greatest thing in my life. It energizes me, and it is an honor to be your Bible teacher.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good
night.
Thank you.
Thank you. I preach the dog to sleep. Oh, I wanted to give... Is there anybody that would like... You know, don't jump us off Justin TV yet. Would anybody like to come up here and give their testimony of salvation? Might help somebody that's listening right now. Anybody? Shaken? Come on up here. You might have to focus if he's taller than you. Could you tell us about your salvation?
Well, it was January 25th. Somebody drug me out of bed that morning. And to this day, I still have no reason, don't understand why I went. He just called me up, was waiting outside my door for me. I had 2 minutes to throw on some clothes and didn't even know what we were going to talk about that day. And, you know, for years, the last few years, I went to bed every night, just every night I'd pray, God, just forgive me, but nothing happened. It just, nothing happened. And I prayed every night. But every night when I, right before I go to sleep, the last things I think about is everything I've done in the last couple of years. I knew I was going to hell. I tried to convince myself that, well, God knows my heart. Well, that was a crock of crap, I guess. But I just, the condemnation and guilt I had was just crazy. And anyway, that day, I was just showed over and over how absolutely worthless I was. And that was kind of hard to swallow. But that afternoon, by the time I got to the house, I had this picture of Jesus walking up to the cross, bent halfway over with a big old ball on his back. And that ball had every one of my sins I'd ever committed on his back.
Amen.
And when I seen him walking up to that cross with everything I'd ever done, and I knew right then and there that I was absolutely worthless. And without that, without what he did for me, all the pain he went through, I mean, he had thorns pushed in his head. I mean, a spear run through his side. His back was ripped to shreds. I mean, his bones were out of joint. Nails run through his hands. And when they dropped that cross in the hole, it had to jar. They didn't just set it in that hole. I mean, it had to hit. But I don't know if any of that was as bad as him knowing that he was going to hell with my sins.
Amen.
And he took my sins to hell so I don't have to go. He paid for it all.
Amen.
And right then and there, I trust and I was like, Jesus, that's not enough, what you did. There ain't no way I'm ever going. And just, I mean, about right away, that day or the next day, I can't remember exactly which. This happened on January 25th this year. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's just, from that moment on, it was like, after I trusted, yeah, I know some of the things that I've done in the past, but I can't hardly remember doing them. Mm-hmm. They're gone. And I haven't had a day of guilt and condemnation since then. Jesus did everything for me. There's just nothing I can do. I just have to let go and trust in what he did. It's good enough.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to give their testimony? This is your chance. Would you like to give your testimony? Come on up here and give your testimony.
Hi. So, all my life I've pretty much been trying to be a good girl, be a good one. Okay. But nevertheless, I felt just as much condemnation in my life as what Shaken was talking about, even though he was the one who was doing the bad things. I was involved in Bible studies and all kinds of things, trying to be good enough that I would gain favor with God. And I would lay down at night and face that same fear of, what if I don't wake up in the morning? I'm just not sure. If I die, I'm just not sure if I'm really going to make it. I believed in Jesus. I believed that he died on that cross. And I believe that he
died for my sins, but I felt like I believe that I had to confess them, and I believe that to get rid of them, I had to do something to get rid of them. I was actually at a point in my life when I was like, just throw it all in. I'm ready to just give it all up. I'm not even going to be a Christian because it was too hard. And but the very first night that I heard the gospel of what saves me, I saw how lost I was, even in doing all of those things that I thought were good things, that were righteous. I saw how lost I was, and that I needed someone to save me. But I didn't actually get saved right then. It was not until like a couple days later. I was fighting it because I was thinking, what are all these people going to say that looked up to me? I was very influential. I taught school and I was a Bible study leader, whatever. What are all these people going to say if they hear that Rhoda wasn't saved? Well, I wasn't saved because I didn't trust that Jesus Christ died for all my sins and that they are gone. And that I was lost. I did not trust that. So, that I remember so clearly just backing out. I was in my car, backing out of my driveway. That's the moment it happened. Is when I said, Jesus, if what you did was not enough, I know where I'm going anyway. So I just chose to trust right then. And that was the difference. I trusted.
Amen.
That what Jesus did was enough. And I'm telling you, the most incredible peace.
Amen.
It's a peace that passes all understanding,
Amen.
Knowing
Amen.
That I know where I'm going. And I did it before, and I do now.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hey.
Anyone else? He's great, guys, as you listen on the internet, as you listen in here. You know, these were the times coming up that you remember going through. And there's one thing common. They all were scared to death. And when the moment they trusted, they had the peace. Mm-hmm. And that's a single common denominator.
Well, I grew up with Mennonite religion all my life. But I was kind of on the outside always. And my life, I pretty much reached a point in my life where I gave up. I was like, well, I'm destined to go to hell. I can't do nothing right. I try to be good. Never last. And I got drugged here to a Bible study. I was sitting right over there January 21st. And I heard the gospel for the first time. And I about panicked. I was like, I knew I was lost and I was no good. And I was like, maybe I can just slip out of here and never come back. But Barry told the story about the hanging onto the rope, and I was like, well, what do I need to do? And then, you know, like, I was just like, and he told that story, and so I was like, you know what, I don't have to do nothing, it's done. And I just let go in my mind. I just felt myself just letting go of everything. I was like, I'm never going to doubt again, is what I said to myself. I'm going to trust that what he did was enough, and I'm never doubting again the rest of my life. And I immediately had the most incredible peace that I've ever experienced in my life. And I still have bad days, but I can smile about it because I know that Jesus did everything for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey guys, you know, that's what makes us. I want you to invite your friends, your family members, anybody you can drag here. Get them here. You never know when their last day will be. I'm telling you, you don't know. You'd be driving down the road. Boom. Somebody killed two people in my car. That'll freak you out. Oh man, I didn't expect that. You never do expect it. There were the nine girls that were riding in a van up here on 65, and that semi cut across the road and across the median and hit them head on. I guarantee you they never thought it happened to them. They never thought once about it. They never even thought about it.
They wouldn't have gotten in the truck if they had a car, the van. They'd have never got in if they'd have thought about it. And they climbed in, and they said those bodies were so mangled and burnt and messed up that you couldn't even recognize them. Said, it won't happen to me. Oh, really? How do you know? I mean, really, honestly, how do you know? I didn't think I'd be having chest pains on the side of the road at 52 either. Had a guy, a friend of mine, Bob Warman, 67 years old, farmer, skinny fella, think he epitome of health. Kind of looked like, well, skinnier than Bob. Bob skinned up some here. He'd been eating pretty good, I can tell you, been feeding him today. Maybe someone like Curtis, you know, about Curtis's size, you know, fit. He grabbed his chest Tuesday. Said, something wrong with me. They rushed him to the hospital. He was having a massive coronary. Took vitamins, supplements, everything. Grabbed his chest. They did a quadruple bypass. A friend of mine spoke to him a couple days ago. Doing fine. Saturday afternoon, he grabbed his chest and said, something's wrong with me. And he never made it. Are you listening to me? Never made it to the hospital. He was dead on arrival. I watched little babies die. Say, well, babies never die. That's not true. Everybody dies. You know why? The wages of sin is death. You're not going to escape it. There's nobody in this room going to make it. You are not going to make it. And the only exit, the only possibility is the cross. Listen to me on the internet. I don't know you. You may be faking it. I faked it to Brother Moore. Brother, you were faking it, weren't you? I mean, come on, are you kidding me? But let me tell you what, when you get saved, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the most incredible thing you've ever heard in your life? And God wants to save you so bad tonight, it's ridiculous.